Srila Prabhupada ki, Raja Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Giriraj Mahat. Any other points? So last night we're hearing how Hiranyakashipu in the beginning of the third chapter, he is performing great austerities, but it's all for some material goal. He wants to become the Lord of the universe. So he is doing a great deal of tapasya and putting in a great deal of effort simply to satisfy his selfish material desires. And in the meantime, he is disturbing everyone else in the universe, heat which is emanating from his head. So this is demoniac consciousness. Demoniac consciousness means it is based upon what I can get out of this material world, how I will enjoy this material world, and giving disturbance to others and not being disturbed that you are disturbing others. Mentality. So Srila Prabhupada has said that as soon as you say, just grab a chair or something. Yeah, that's good. So, Srila Prabhupada says that as soon as you say, I want, then that is sense gratification. I want this, I want that. As soon as you say, I want, then that is sense gratification. Thinking of yourself. Just like I've told you many times that one time I was with my guru, just up here. He said, why do you want? And he said, who cares what you want? So material consciousness means, I want, I want. But spiritual consciousness means, what does guru want? So a devotee absorbs himself, his consciousness in what does guru want, what does Krishna want. He doesn't think, what do I want? Because we will be looked after anyway. Now, if you just serve guru and Krishna, you'll get everything that you could possibly desire. Okay, so tonight we'll continue from verses 14 to 21. And we'll hear how Lord Brahma, being petitioned by the demigods, travels to meet Hiranyakashipu to give him benedictions. And then next week we'll hear about the benedictions that...
Sometimes also Krishna will be really, so we hear that, you know, once spiritual advances one then he becomes materially, you know, opulences actually go away.
Whenever you read something in one of Prabhupada's purports, in Prabhupada's books, you have to look at it within context of everything which is there. So Prabhupada says there, he says that your material opulence, your material position will improve. But then if you read in Krishna book, as you say, he says that generally the Vaishnavas are poor and the worshippers of Lord Shiva are rich. Yeah, you have to look at the whole context. So the way that we understand it is that if Krishna wants you to be rich and if Krishna wants you to be poor, so he treats all the devotees according to what they need, what they desire, what they deserve. Yeah, Prabhupada says, in spiritual advancement, one's material position improves at the same time that the path of liberation becomes clear. So Prabhupada says things sometimes in his purports. We have to see it in context with all of his writings and all of his words. Because devotees often do this. When devotees have a particular agenda, when they want to push something, then they'll pull out one particular quote from Prabhupada and say, Prabhupada said like that, but then that's not very mature. It's not very good. We should not be like that. Prabhupada said many things. And Prabhupada sometimes speaks contradictorily. One time he says this, and the other time he says that. Sometimes he says the opposite thing. You know, particularly in his letters and his conversations, he's speaking according to time, place and circumstance. In his books, even in his books sometimes Prabhupada says different things. So you have to look at all of Prabhupada's words and then you have to make a judgment. I don't understand your question. Yeah, it's just this particular individual, that's all. No one else could do this. No other demigod could do it, no other demon could do it. Just this one person can do this. This one person is one of the Lord's eternal associates in the spiritual world. No one else could do what he's doing. This is a special case. It's not like an ordinary situation. So. Even Lord Brahma is amazed when he sees what's going on. O King, being thus informed by the demigods, the most powerful Lord Brahma, accompanied by Bhrigu, Daksha, and other great sages, immediately started for the place where Hiranyakashipu was performing his penances and austerities. Number 14.
Can you read that? Austerities performed by the Hiranyakashipu. He could go there and offer benedictions according to Hiranyakashipu. Taking the opportunity of being Brahma when there, should reward him the benediction he deserved.
So, It is said in the Padma Purana, Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. This, the holy name of Krishna is Chintamani. Chintamani means it is thought conscious. Or Chintamani means it is wish fulfilling. So the holy name of Krishna is wish fulfilling. In other words, Krishna's holy name can fulfill any of your desires, spiritually and materially. So whenever we are chanting the holy name of Krishna, which we're doing every day, you must be very careful what you are desiring and what you are meditating upon, what is in your heart. I've seen when I first joined the temple, there was one devotee, and he wanted to become successful in business. And he was very strict in his sadhana. He would get up at 3 o'clock every morning, chant rounds before Mangalati, finish all his rounds by 6 o'clock in the morning, and then read the Bhagavatam, and then he would come for the morning program. Then he would go out and do his work. He had a business, and he became very wealthy, very rich. His business became very successful. But then he neglected his Krishna consciousness. He stopped chanting his rounds and stopped reading the Bhagavatam. And he actually became quite offensive towards the devotees. So I could see, it was a practical example, that because of his tapasya, or the austerity he was performing in chanting the holy name, he was awarded all of his material desires. The holy name can easily award our material desires. That's for the holy name to award these things. Prabhupada says in Christianity, they pray, O Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. So then Prabhupada says, you don't have to ask God for bread. You just go and ask the baker. He can give you so much. Of course we do. That is our mentality. Even for our bread, for our chapatis, our rotis. Then we are always meditating that, Krishna, you please supply these things to us. But that is not the limit of our meditation. In other words, we should not primarily be approaching Krishna to fulfill material desires. And while chanting our rounds, if you're meditating on your material desires in your heart, then Krishna, he is aware of those things, and he may fulfill them. So you have to be very conscientious of what you are desiring, especially when you're chanting the holy name of Krishna. So you have to be conscious that your desires are spiritual, not material. That we are thinking of spiritual things, that we're cultivating spiritual desire. It's like tomorrow's Gaura Purnima. And so already we've been meditating for the days and the weeks leading up to this day, in a very auspicious day, most powerful day. So already we're meditating. You know, what services can I do? How can I rid myself more of my material desires, my material... That's all these things we're meditating upon. So while we're chanting tomorrow, then we'll be meditating like this. Kirtaniya ha sada hari. Tomorrow is the day to chant all day. No matter what you're doing, chanting all day tomorrow. Even if it's your work, you should be chanting all day. Even if it's in your mind, you should be chanting all day, non-stop. You should be meditating on the right thing. Praying to Krishna to fulfill our desires, to give us more service, so that we can serve him in particular ways, so that we can serve him effectively, so that we can become better servants. Not necessarily that we just do more service, but that our service becomes of a higher quality, or that it actually becomes bhakti. Our problem is we become distracted very easily, and we're always mixed with material desires. So it is hard for us to progress in Krishna consciousness. Our advancement may be very slow, so we have to become very conscientious. So that is the purpose of chanting the holy name. So Hiranyakashipu, he's doing so much tapasya, but the whole point is to become materially successful. It's completely the opposite to the desires of a devotee. We don't want to become materially successful. Or, if we do want to become materially successful, it has to be so that we can serve Krishna. Just like Srila Prabhupada said, he had an argument with Krishna. And he was saying to Krishna that, I want to go and preach as a rich man. And Krishna said, no, as a poor man. And Prabhupada said, no, I want to go and preach in the West as a rich man. And Krishna said, no, a poor man. And then Prabhupada said, Krishna won. So by the time he went to America, he was poor. A very small amount of money. Getting on a boat, going to a foreign country with $8. You can't even drive down to the shops without... We always need our financial security. And Prabhupada, he had no financial security. And his whole meditation in the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, was to become wealthy so then he could spread Krishna consciousness. But Krishna took all of that away, and that made Prabhupada even more glorious because he achieved so much beginning with nothing. It's an amazing story how someone could even do that. No one could do that. The mentality we should have. We should not be praying for material things. So Lord Krishna will test us. He will see what is in your heart. And in the fifth canto of the Bhagavad Gita, there is that verse that says that Krishna, he may award the material desires of the devotee. If the devotee has material desires, Krishna may award them. The Bhagavad Gita says he will give you your material desires, but not in a way that you will want to enjoy them further. In other words, he may give you what you want, but he'll do it in such a way that you won't want to continuously enjoy that thing. And I've seen that in my life many times. I meditate on something, I have some material attachment. Krishna gives it to me, but he gives it to me in such a way that I cannot really enjoy it. And I gradually try to learn, or gradually we're learning that these things are not really...
Always giving, giving, giving. All the time giving. And also forgiving us. He's not taking our offenses. And we are getting, getting, getting all the time. And also forgetting him. So ungrateful. We are forgetting Krishna. Somebody is giving everything and we are forgetting him still.
Yeah, we need to learn to become grateful as devotees.
Requirement, which is what he's going to ask.
Lord Brahma, who is carried by a swan aeroplane, at first could not see where Hiranyakashipu was, for Hiranyakashipu's body was covered by an anthill and by grass and bamboo sticks. Because Hiranyakashipu had been sent there for a long time, the ants had devoured his skin, fat, flesh and blood. Then Lord Brahma and the demigods spotted him, resembling a cloud-covered sun, heating all the world by his austerity. Struck with wonder, Lord Brahma began to smile and then addressed him as follows.
If merely by his own power, the living entity has nothing to do with the material covering. Hiranyakashipu performed the severe type of tapasya, austerity, for many long years. It is said that he performed the tapasya for 100 many years. Since one day of the demigods equals 6 of our months, this was a very long time. By nature's own way, his body had been almost consumed in other parasites, and therefore even Brahma was at first unable to see him. Later, however, Brahma could ascertain where Hiranyakashipu was, and Brahma was struck with wonder to see Hiranyakashipu's extraordinary power. Anyone would conclude that Hiranyakashipu was dead because his body was covered in so many ways. But Lord Brahma, the supreme living being in this universe, could understand that Hiranyakashipu was alive but covered by material elements.
We can see how severe austerity he was doing.
The body has been taken away, being a soul, life element. The body is not that in the level of...
So this just shows how powerful the soul is. As Mataji said, the soul is Anu and Krishna is Vipu. And Vipu means unlimitedly powerful or full of vibhav. There are 6 types of vibhav which are given. Aishwaryasya, Samagrasya, Viyasya. So strength, knowledge, fame, renunciation. These are the opulences, vibhav. And one who has unlimited opulence is called vipu, or great, or very powerful. We are called anu, which means we are very small, insignificant. We are the follower. But still, because we are spiritual, we have... Practically, we have an incredible amount of potency. And if this is used in Krishna's service, you can see how potent an individual can become. Just as we gave the example just before of Srila Prabhupada, you see what Prabhupada achieved. Right? As an individual soul who is a fully surrendered servant of Krishna, how much potency he can receive from Krishna to achieve so much. That is the potency. And so the soul has incredible potency. We know in the pastime of Agasura, would you clock that phone? There's a button you can push and it mutes it, so that one won't make any noise. Look under it, it should say mute. So you look in the pastime of Agasura, in the 10th canto of the Bhagavad Gita, in the Krishna book, then it is described that when the cowherd boy saw Agasura's mouth open, then they thought, let us run inside. And even if there is some danger from this snake, then Krishna will protect us. But the Acharyas point out in the commentary that each one of the cowherd boys was powerful enough themselves to defeat Agasura. Because when a devotee is fully surrendered to Krishna, he gets Krishna Shakti Vina, He gets the Shakti of Krishna. He gets the potency of Krishna. Shakshat Hari, Samasta Shastra. The Guru is receiving Hari Shakti. He is empowered by Krishna. So that's why an advanced devotee who is surrendered to Krishna, he can achieve so much. Because he's giving Krishna's potency. So this is the position of the soul. The soul has incredible power by Krishna's. Practically, it can almost achieve as much as Krishna, practically, if Krishna desires. He can give that potency to the... Just like Srila Prabhupada, in the final days of his pastimes, he was laying on the his bed in Vrindavan. His pastimes in this world were almost finished. His body was emaciated. But Srila Prabhupada said that they are amazed that the old man who is on his deathbed, still he is beating on the Brihad Mridanga. And the sound vibration is going all over the world. So that was Prabhupada's potency. Even when his body was physically unable, he had so much potency that he could inspire an entire movement. And his books were going out thousands of hundreds of thousands of millions. And in the final days of Prabhupada's pastimes in this world, in Srila Prabhupada, he was very weak materially, his body was very weak. But when they would send Brahmeshwara Prabhu from Los Angeles, would send every month the monthly Sankirtan report of all of Prabhupada's books which are distributed around the world, then Prabhupada would have the devotees sit him up in his bed, and he would sit there for more than 1 hour, and he would listen to the report being read out of every single book distributor in ISKCON. Such and such dust. So many small books, so many big books, so many Mahavi books. Such and such dusty. And Prabhupada would listen to the entire thing. And Prabhupada said, this is my, like, his inspiration. This is giving me life. They think the old man is dead. They think the old man is dead. Beating on the Brihad Mridanga. And that sound is going all over the world. So when someone is a pure devotee of Krishna, there's so much power which can be given by Krishna. So you see Hiranyakashipu, one person was disturbing the whole universe. Right? How powerful is that? Imagine just one of us was disturbing the whole universe. We can't do it. Right? You have to be powerful to disturb a country or to disturb a planet. You know, maybe some people are so powerful they disturb a whole planet. But to have the potency to disturb all the planets in the universe, that's how powerful Hiranyakashipu was. So his potency was given by Krishna. This is a special case because he was an eternal servant of Krishna from the spiritual world. Only he had the potency to disturb the entire.
Be envious and disturbed. There's no austerity element in that he knew it was exactly disturbed.
You know, that's the Vedic culture and Vedic knowledge. Because back in those days, they understood if you want to get something, you have to worship someone above you. These days, people don't understand that. You know, if you want to get something, you have to worship someone above you. Or, well, maybe they do in some way, but you know, some material personality. They'll, you know, if someone speaks, like Bill Gates comes and speaks, and they'll all go to listen. And so there's some understanding. But in the Vedic culture, everyone understands. You want something, you have to worship someone above you. It's only by blessings. So he knows. If I don't get blessings, I'm not going to be successful. Even though he's a demon, he knows. You know, in the Krishna book, the example is given of, was it Brikasura who was cutting his heads off? You know, he'd put his head over the fire and cut his head off. His head would fall into the fire, and then another head would grow, and then he'd put that into the fire. He was offering like that. And then Lord Shiva came, and Lord Shiva said, what do you want? You know, what are you doing? What?
I think it's
the Ramayana. I like that. I think it's in the Krishna book. It's not in the Ramayana. I mean, it could be, but it was definitely in the Krishna book. So he's cutting the head off like that. So Lord Shiva says, why are you doing like that? I'm not enjoying your offer. You know, if you want to satisfy me, you just offer some bay leaf. So this is the mentality of someone who is a demoniac personality. The consciousness of the demon, even though we'll torture themselves or do these kind of things, but they understand that I have to get some benediction from above. It's a culture society. They understand. Anything which is connected to the Vedic society, they understand this principle.
Also to be noted that although Hiranyakashipu performed this austerity for a long, long time, he was nonetheless known as a daitya and rakshasa. It will be seen from these verses to follow that even great saintly could not perform such a severe type of austerity. Why then was he called a rakshasa and a daitya? It is because whatever he did was for his own sense gratification. His son Prahlad Maharaj was only 5 years old, and so what could Prahlada do
Yet simply by performing and teaching devotional service according to the instructions of Narada Muni, Prahlada became so dear to the Lord that the Lord came to save him. Thus, Hiranyakashipu, in spite of all his austerities, was killed. This is the difference between the devotional service and all other methods of perfection. One who performs severe austerities for self-verification is to the entire world, whereas a devotee who performs even a slight amount of devotional service, Suhrudam Sarvabhutanam. Since the Lord is the well-wisher of every living entity, devotee assumes the qualities of a devotee, also acts for everyone's good fortune by performing devotional service. Thus, although Hiranyakashipu performed such a severe austerity, he remained a daitya and a rakshasa, whereas Prahlada Maharaja, although born of the same daitya father, exalted devotee and was personally protected by the so-called Sarvopari Vidir Muktam, indicating that the devotee is free from all material designation, Anyavilashita Shunyam. So it is joyfully performed the devotion.
Sarva Yoga Gyan, who have to go up to Manishya Pradhanaj, who are doing Paramakanda, Sri Aspergis.
Understood that all the processes which are mentioned in the Vedas, there is karma, ultimately there is bhakti, that of all the different processes, it is mentioned in the Harinam Chintamani by Haridas Thakur. He says that all the processes which are mentioned in the Vedas, they are a means to the end, but they are different from the end, or they are different from the goal. In other words, you follow a process, but then when you reach the goal, it's expected that you'll have a different activity, or the goal will be different to the actual means to attain that goal. Just like they'll perform certain activities so they can merge into the Brahma Jyoti. But once they've merged into the Brahma Jyoti, the activities which they're performing at that time, point in time, or the non-activity they're performing at that time, is different to the means they practice to attain that goal. Whereas Haridas Thakur points out that in bhakti, the goal and the means are the same. In other words, we perform devotional service. Why? So that we can perform pure devotional service. That is our mentality. That we want to do devotional service so that we can do more devotional service in the liberated condition, on the liberated platform. So Prabhupada, in 1977, just before he left this world, he was in Vrindavan. Then Srila Prabhupada said, the pujaris of Krishna and Balaram are the most fortunate living entities in the universe. So you can take it to any of the temples in ISKCON. The pujaris of Gaur-Nitya, Radha, Balabhara, Jagannath, Balaram, Subhadra, they're the most fortunate living entities in the universe. Because the activities they perform in sadhana bhakti will be the same activities they will perform in sadhya. It's like the manages are making garlands for tomorrow. So in the spiritual world, they will also make garlands. So the means is the end also. But in the spiritual world, when they make garlands, there are tears in the eyes. That is the goal. The goal is that you have so much love for Krishna, there are tears in your eyes while you are making those garlands. And you are chanting the holy names of Krishna. And you're fully absorbed in Krishna. And your offering is a manifestation of your prema, or your love for Krishna. Why are you doing the activity? Why do we do any of the activities? As Srila Prabhupada points out to us, and Krishna himself says in the Bhagavad Gita, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam, Yome Bhakshya Priyashtahati. So Krishna says that you are just offering something very insignificant. He doesn't need that offering. He doesn't need your flower, or the fruit, or the water, or the leaf, whatever it is you're offering. But he says, when you offer it with devotion, ashnami, means I will relish that, I will accept that. So that is Krishna's mood. Prabhupada explains this to us. Krishna doesn't need our offering. He wants our bhakti or our love. The offering is a manifestation of our bhakti or our love. So therefore, when the devotees do, Ayendra Prabhu used to make this point when he used to give. He said, actually, we are not doing puja. Puja means worship. He said, we are doing seva. Because puja means awe and reverence. Right? But seva means, Ayendra Prabhu is on a very high level of bhakti. We are performing seva. So when we do our seva for the deity, we should be extremely attentive to the details. Just like we're making the garlands. So we should be extremely attentive to all the details. Very careful about how we're making the garlands. Very careful about all the details. When you cook an offering for the deities, you're very careful about and attentive to how you cook that offering. To all elements of the offering being the deities, and not just offer to the deities, but then once it becomes Mahaprasad, how it is then served to the devotees. I remember Korma Prabhu, he would cook a feast, I remember sometimes we would cook feasts with him for Radharani or something on one of the appearance days. So he would cook the feast, and then after the feast was cooked and offered to the deities, and then it would come back, and then he would go up and he would supervise the serving out. And he would make sure that, because, you know, we have the plate system, we take a plate, we walk along and we put it on, that he would watch how the servers are putting the items on the plate. And he would make sure everything was put in the right position and they weren't all mixed together. Now, there's nothing quite like having sabji and your sweet rice mixed together. There's a very special rasa. You know, when the gulab falls right in the middle of your chutney, you know, it's a very special rasa. So Korma Prabhu, he would watch all the serving out, and he would yell at the servers if they made the mistake. He's very particular about serving Krishna. And that's why, actually, we have such a high standard of temple worship in this temple. Korma Prabhu was one of the particular. I remember many times he would sit there outside the doors of the deity room. He would get up early in the morning and chant his japa, and he would sit there, and the pujari would come to offer the Mangalati sweets to Radha Ballabha, and the offering has to be offered at 4:10. They offer at 4:10. Is it still 4:10? So he would be sitting there chanting his japa outside the deity room, you know, looking at his watch, right to the second, be watching. And if it was 30 seconds late or 1 minute late, when the bell was ringing, when he heard the bell ringing, when that pujari came out, he would start yelling at them. Why is the offering late? So this is attention to detail. I remember cooking, I think I've told the story before, but I'll never forget it. I don't think Korma Prabhu, I don't think he's forgotten that. So he's very particular. So he cooked a big pot. So he said, drain the chickpeas. So I drained the chickpea, picked up the pot and poured it, and all the chickpeas went out. And then there's just the water left, the chickpea water, pot full. So I just poured it down the drain and then put the pot in the pot shed. So half an hour later, he said, where is that chickpea water? It just exploded. Get out of this kitchen. And I was so angry. So I didn't leave. I just stood there and it was just an honest mistake. I made a mistake. And I said, I'm sorry, Prabhu. It's very foolish. And the one thing I learned from that is to never pour chickpea water down the drain again. He came to me after Mangalati the next day and he apologized. He offered his obeisances and he said, I'm sorry I yelled at you. And I said, no, actually, it's my fault because I did the wrong thing. I didn't know. I was ignorant. I don't know much about cooking. So the point is that the devotees are very particular. So bhakti means that you are very attentive to details in your service. Attentive when you're dealing with deities. Because you're dealing with God. The deity is none different from Krishna. So when you're doing the service, you have to be very attentive to all the details. Everything has to be very... Krishna is extremely particular. He's the most particular person. It's called Rasika Shekhar, topmost relisher of rasa. He's very particular about everything. I can see from... Many things I can see are not what they were before. I was actually listening to the radio last week. Very interesting segment. And the reporter was analysing CEOs, companies in the world. So they... were the guy who was the CEO of IKEA and also someone from America who was either the person who trained CEOs or analyzed companies or something, you know, someone very respected in the... And it's interesting, his comment was that out of all the big corporations that he works with and sees, he said only 1/3 of the CEOs are actually qualified for their position. And he said there's a leadership crisis. So sometimes we say, oh, there's a leadership crisis in this kind. We have to understand there's a leadership crisis. It's hard to find very good leaders. And one leader has very good organisational skills or very good skills in certain areas, but then they lack in human resource or not so good. And then others are very good at communicating with everyone, very friendly, everyone loves them, but they can't manage finance. You know, it's very hard to find someone who's holistic. You know, someone like, you know, Bhakti Rasamrita Swami. You know, has like practically all the oceans. You know, those people are rare. They're not like... So basically, yeah, we need a Korma Prabhu in every... He's a little bit outside of his time at the moment because he's looking after his father. And he actually said to me a while back, he said if I actually came into the temples, they wouldn't like it because I'd start getting on all of their cases. And he said, I wouldn't like it because they said I wouldn't be very peaceful because I'd have to get on everyone's case. So when devotees get older as well, they don't necessarily want to keep having to tell everyone everything, whether or not he'll take that position up again. It means a new generation has to come. Interesting, though, when Prabhupada went into the temple, because there was a program outside, and all the devotees had gone to the program, Prabhupada was upstairs. Prabhupada was the last one to come because everyone was already at the program. So Prabhupada went to offer obeisances and Kaumprabhu was doing aarti. Prabhupada looked to see who was doing the aarti. These are not like ordinary devotees. And some of them were sent from higher places in this universe to assist Prabhupada. Ordinary. So it's hard to find these people. Okay. Yeah, means to an end. Means to an end. Means you will follow the process of karma or jnana or yoga
yeah.
to get to a particular goal. But when you get to that goal, you'll give up the activities you performed while you're trying to get to the goal. But in bhakti, the same activities you perform are the same activities you'll be performing eternally. It is the means and the end. Haridas Thakur says in the Harinam Chintamani, he said, bhakti is the means and the end. Okay, so we will keep going. Lord Brahma said, O son of Kashyapa Muni, please get up, please get up. All good fortune unto you. You are now perfect in the performance of your austerities, and therefore, I may give you a benediction. You may now ask from me whatever you desire, and I shall try to fulfill your wish. Read the purport, Mahaprabhu.
I was reported from Sankarana, as Hirani Garbha, and having undergone a serious study, Aksha and demon worship various demigods, the Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva.
We are taught by Rupa Goswami not to disrespect the demigods. He mentions this in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu in the Nectar of Devotion. It said, one of the items of bhakti is that you should not disrespect the devatas. Sometimes you hear devotees, when they're giving class, they'll say, Indra did that, and Brahma did that. But you know, we're not really in a position to judge Lord Indra and Lord Brahma. Actually, I remember I was standing just out there, just in front of the temple one day, and I was joking with one devotee, and I said something about Lord Indra. It was like I was joking. I said, oh, you know, something about Lord Indra like that, and the clouds went, the sound, immediately. And we just looked at each other, and we both smiled. These are powerful living entities, so we should not disrespect them. We should not say, you know, Brahma did that, and Lord Indra did that. You know, even though sometimes they may do things which are mentioned in the Bhagavatam as mistakes, but they're very exalted personalities. But still, they should always be seen in their position. Now, according to the Bhagavatam, Lord Shiva, Vaishnavanam, Yata Shambhu. Shiva is the greatest Vaishnava in the material world. So we offer great respect to Lord Shiva. But as the protector of the Holy Dharma, as the servant of, just like in Nandagram, if you go to Nandagram in Vrindavan, then Nandishwara Hill, that hill, is Lord Shiva's head. And every day, when they offer the bhoga to Krishna and Balaram, those deities, have you been to Nandagram in Vrindavan? Those deities were rediscovered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he came to Earth 500 years ago. He discovered those deities. So whenever they offer the bhoga to Krishna and Balaram, after they offer the bhoga, they take it out to the Shiva Linga, Nandishwara, Mahadev, and they offer the bhoga to him. So this is the system. We can worship the demigods. We worship them with the Mahaprasad of Krishna. This pleases the demigods and this pleases Krishna. So that should be our mentality. We should see them properly. Lord Brahma here, Lord Brahma, Hiranyakashipu, is not seeing Lord Brahma properly. He is seeing him, you know, you are meant to fulfill my material desires. We don't go to the demigods for that. The reason we approach the demigods is we ask them, please help me serve Krishna more nicely. Or Lord Shiva, especially when we go to Mayapur or Vrindavan or Puri, when I take the devotees on parikram, whenever we see Lord Shiva's linga, then I always remind the devotees, we pray to Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva, please remove my false ego. You are the Lord of false ego. You're the Lord of the material world. Your wife is Parvati. She is the goddess of the material energy. Destroy my false ego so that I can one day bring to the and be a servant of Krishna's. Hiranyakashipu is not showing us the right example. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says that Lord Chaitanya entered into the cave on Nandishwara Parvat, on that hill, and he saw Krishna and Balaram and Nanda Maharaj and I think Mother Yashoda. So he rediscovered. But I'm not sure. Maybe he did, but I can't remember. If he also discovered Nandishwara when he was a baby.
When Krishna was crying, that he stayed on from there, and since then he has been there.
Yeah, he sat down the hill
yeah.
near Tirthanamba. There's a place there where Lord Shiva is worshipped. Not that linga, but there's another linga, but down maybe a kilometre away from the hill. So that's the place where he was sitting. Yes. And then Mother Yashoda went and sent the devotees, and they brought him back. And then.
Ashish.
Asheshwar Mahadev.
Asheshwar.
When we do our japa retreat at Varshana, then we go and chant at Tekadamba, which is very close. And first we go and visit Lord Shiva and offer obeisances to him, and then we go across and we chant at Tekadamba. The bull, Lord Shiva's bull, is an incarnation of Krishna. Why will Lord Shiva ride on Krishna? Aravat. No, that doesn't mean Aravat is Krishna. Krishna, in that part of the Bhagavad Gita, he's talking about opulences.
Yeah.
Opulences of the Supreme. So he says, of elephants, I am Aravata. That doesn't mean Krishna, Aravata is an incarnation of Krishna. It means that in this world, he's saying to Arjuna, all wonderful and divine things are a spark of my splendor. So yeah, it doesn't mean that Nandi is Krishna. It doesn't mean Krishna is actually, that's an incarnation of Krishna, because Lord Shiva wouldn't ride on Krishna. So
he was given by God Krishna.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean he is that person. That means they're a spark of his splendor. Everything comes from him, but he says, like he says of the Pandavas, I am Arjuna. So it doesn't mean Krishna is Arjuna. Right, but it means of the Pandavas, Arjuna has the most opulence or the most potency. So Krishna is saying that potency is coming from me. So I have been very much astonished to see your endurance. In spite of being eaten and bitten by all kinds of worms and ants, you are keeping your life air circulating within your bones. Certainly this is very wonderful. Even saintly persons like Bhrigu, born previously, could not perform such severe austerities, nor will anyone in the future be able to do so. Who within these three worlds can sustain his life without even drinking water for 100 celestial years? Tomorrow is Gaura Purnima. Tomorrow is going to be 34 degrees, and we're meant to perform Nirjal. It would be very difficult for us not to drink water tomorrow, but to speak of 100 years. And understand his austerity. It's difficult for us not to drink water for one day, or 1 hour. And for 100 years, he's not eating, he's not drinking. It means the highest level of fasting is that you don't drink the water. The Prabhupada said, if it's too much for you, then you can drink the water. And then he said, if it's too much, too austere, then he said you can take some fruit. If just water is too austere, he said you can take some fruit. He said, if that is too austere, then he said you can take some milk, if it's too austere. My dear son of Diti, with your great determination and austerity, you have done what was impossible, even for great saintly persons. And thus I have certainly been conquered by you. O best of the Asuras, for this reason I am now prepared to give you all benedictions, according to your desire. I belong to the celestial world of demigods, who do not die like human beings. Therefore, although you are subject to death, your audience, me, will not go. So Prabhupada explains that at the end of Lord Brahma's life, because he is a pure devotee, if he is a pure devotee, everyone on his planet, they go back to Vaikuntha, or the spiritual world. And Prabhupada actually says their bodies are already spiritualized. They go back in the self-same body. They already have spiritual forms in Brahmaloka. So there are only two planets in this universe that you can go back to the spiritual world from. One is Brahmaloka, the other one is? From Elvapak, you can go back to the spiritual world. Because the spiritual world is manifest in Elvapak. Srila Prabhupada was sitting here and said, this is Vrindavan. So tomorrow we can go back to the spiritual world. Prabhupada says, just by dancing and chanting in front of Gaura-Nitai, you can go back to Godhead. That's how powerful the potency is. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yeah.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki.
Yeah.
Gaura-Puni Maha Mahotsava ki.
Yeah.
Jai Nitai Gopri Mahanandi.
Yeah.